morning, everybody.
Morning.
Hope you had a great Christmas. It's good to have Carolyn's family here, packed house. Please join with me in prayer. Father, thank you for sending us the best Christmas present we could have ever imagined. You sent your son, Jesus Christ, to come, to become a little baby, to grow up to be a man. And not just a man, a servant, not just any servant, but someone who is fully obedient, even to the point of death. And even in your birth, we look to the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for what you did to set all of us free. We pray that you would teach us today more about how to pray and to experience you more deeply at the end of this year, going into next year. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. A simple one point for today is to take on the mind of Christ so that you can live for him. Take on the mind of Christ so that you can live with him. To start, humble yourself, because that's a lofty goal. And so, just to start, I want to encourage us to humble ourselves, to repent of our pride, and to pray about everything, small and big. Repentance is a change of the mind. And if your mindset shifts, your whole body will follow. Your whole life will follow. If you have a shift, a paradigm shift, if you have, as it says in Philippians 2, if you have the mind of Christ, then everything in your life, your entire life will change. And Philippians 2 verse 5 says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Did you know that the mind of Christ, the mindset of Christ, can be yours? It seems too lofty. How can we think like Jesus? How can we have his mindset? And yet, God's word says it so plainly that we can have the mind of Christ. It says it also in 1 Corinthians 2:16. It says it even more directly. It says we have the mind of Christ. And so I want to talk today about the mind of Christ. Jesus humbled himself, and this was not just in the incarnation, not just when he became a man, but throughout his life, he humbled himself. His plans, his preferences, everything, he humbled himself. He surrendered before the will of his Father. And so, even at age 12, he had a wisdom that far surpassed the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of the law. Because Jesus is the teacher. And even at age 12, he had this wisdom. But we have to see, this wisdom came not because he's the Son of God, although he was. It was because he was fully man, yet he humbled himself. Jesus is providing a model and example for us to follow. The reason why he was wise, wiser than anyone, all the adults that he came into contact with, even at age 12, is because he prayed, he asked for wisdom, he humbled himself throughout his life. And although he was the Son of God, he waited. Now, that might not have been his preference, But he was being trained. He was learning obedience, Hebrews chapter 5. He was learning obedience through suffering, the suffering of waiting for 30 years. And he could have come in any circumstance, in any situation, and yet he came in a manger. He came not as a prince, but as a lowly carpenter. He was not in a palace. He was in a barn with animals. He chose this because from beginning to end, he's showing a life of humility. A life that is humble. A life that was emptied of all of his preferences, all of his plans. And we too can have the mind of Christ. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6 says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. God opposes the proud, he gives grace to the humble. And this is a quotation from Proverbs 3, and I've been reading Proverbs here and there throughout this week. Proverbs 3, verse 34, it says, toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives grace. And then Proverbs 9, 7 through 10, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And it says also in Proverbs 3, the other side of it, to those who are scornful, God is scornful toward them. To those who scorn, God is will disdain them. And I want to talk about pride in one of its, because we may all agree that we're proud. Some of us may not agree. But there's a underlying pride that I think we don't often locate. And it's a pride of presumption. Pride is often hidden in our presumption. And it often expresses itself through scornful scoffing. And throughout the Bible, throughout Proverbs, you will see a warning against being a scornful scoffer. Don't be someone who a scorner who looks at somebody who does not think like you, who does not act like you, and you think that person is worthless. You think that person is stupid. You think that person is a fool because you're so wise in your eyes. That is a scorner. And what do scorners do? They scoff, they mock, they put down, they name call, they label people. And this is often how our pride expresses itself, through our presumption, and it comes out through scoffing. Proverbs 14, verse 12, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Many things that just seem right, many things that just seem common sense, we don't know that if we follow that line of thinking, and if we live that way, we don't know that the end destination of that line of thinking, that reasoning, is death. And so we need to uncover the presumptions and repent of our presumptions. Last week we covered 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh, but the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty thing raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. The word for lofty thing is presumption. It's a high thing. And this presumption, if you do not deal with it, it ends up being a barrier between you and God. I want to quote the passage that talks about the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2. You can turn with me there. We'll be staying here for a little bit. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That last verse where it says we have the mind of Christ is preceded by the phrase, who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? And that is a quotation from Isaiah 40, verse 13 and 14. Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? And what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult? And who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? And so we know clearly that God's ways and his thoughts are higher than our ways and our thoughts. And yet, because of our presumption, because of our pride, because all the knowledge that we've gained, because we've been eating at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because we don't want God to tell us what's good and evil, we are wise in our own eyes. We've been feasting at this tree and we think we're so wise. We presume so many things to be just true and factual. And if we had an audience with God, this is the ultimate scornful scoffing and presumption. Is before God we say, God, let me instruct you. Let me tell you how the world began. I learned it in a science classroom. Let me teach you how the universe works. Although God is outside of it, although God created it, we presume even before God that we know better than him. When I was young, I was proud. You mix pride with youth, because I was a young man. And you mix that with an education from Berkeley, I was proud beyond imagination. I thought I knew life better than my parents, although they live longer than me. And then you tack on a Berkeley education, my pride was through the roof. I thought I understood life. And then as a Christian, I also thought I understood life. That we are better. I am an elite Christian. I look down on everybody else. See, we don't express our presumptions and our pride very clearly. But if you look underneath, there is so much pride. Especially the more educated you are, I think the potential to be proud is so great. And of course, the natural man, as it says in 1 Corinthians 2, does not understand the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. A spiritual person, it says it judges all things. Did you know that it says all things? When it says judges, it says it means examine. Did you know a spiritual person examines all things? Of course, when it comes to the Bible, we understand when it comes to spiritual truth, of course we need the Spirit of God. But here it says all things. That means whatever you pick up in life, if you are a spiritual person, you examine it, you judge it, and you bring it before the Lord. This is a humble person taking everything that you pick up in life, you bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, is this true? Is this true? Even if it's 99% true, it's 100% false. Unless 100%, if it's 100% true, then it's true. But if it's 99% true, then it's 100% false. And so you examine everything before the Lord. That is what a spiritual person does. Everything that society tells you, your teachers tell you, your professors tell you, your parents tell you, even what your pastors tell you, you have to bring it before the Lord. You examine it. And that's why I want to encourage you. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. Of course, we pray about the big things. Where should I go to school? Who should I marry? Maybe even which job to take. These are important decisions. Where should I live? But even the small things. See, because we presume that we know a lot. A lot of the small things we don't pray about. Because we think we already know the answer. We don't even need to pray. Even if we pray, we're praying for God to confirm the decision we're already about to make. See, if you presume that you are wise in your own eyes, you will not pray about the small things. And even the big things, you probably already have your answer. You're just looking for a confirmation from the Lord. And you will look for it in many places. But a genuinely humble person, a spiritual person, examines, judges everything, meaning you pray about it. Every decision, small and big, you bring it before the Lord and you pray and you ask, is this true? Should I believe this? Should I do this? This is somebody who has humbled themselves, who does not presume and prays about everything. The preceding verses, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 through 8. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And so we understand when it comes to identifying who Christ is, it is a secret and hidden wisdom. You will not learn this in university. Actually, if you go to the university, you will hear the exact opposite of what God's Word says. You know, I was an anthropology major. It is one of the most atheistic majors that you can choose. They would mock Christians openly, thinking these guys think in creation. And it's... yes, I should go there. If you bow down to the lowercase g gods of science, you take something like evolution. Evolution is a theory. It is the theory upon theories. And as an anthropologist, they try to find links for the human skeletal structure, all the way down to the most primitive primate being. And they're always looking for a slight modification so that there's no broken links. And then a theory stands and they present it as fact. And it stands for several decades. And then a new theory, a new discovery, a missing link like Lucy is discovered. And then all their theories go out the window and they remake and say, no, we came from this place, from this species. And it's all theories. It's constantly changing. And I used to think as an educated Christian, you merge the two. You merge creationism and you merge evolution. And couldn't God choose as a method of creation evolution over a span of millions of years? I no longer believe it's true. Because you either believe God in His Word, that He said, let there be light, and in a moment there was light. And you either believe that He spoke and He fashioned in a moment man and woman in His image from dust, or you believe what the anthropologists and the scientists will say, that it's evolution over millennia. And we are no different from the chimpanzee that you're petting at a zoo. It's dishonest to teach it as if it's fact. And I want to warn every one of you before you go into the academic world. Know that you have a choice whether to bow down to the lowercase g gods of science at the academy or the true, the most high God, capital G. It is your choice. And all of the professors, the educated people, all of the rulers of this age do not see who Jesus is. It is hidden from their eyes. That is the only reason why they crucified Him. And that is how it works, not just with spiritual things, but with everything. There are things that are revealed to the body of Christ that are hidden from the eyes of the most educated people in our land. Let me make my point. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10, we're going through these verses. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. How can we have the mind of Christ? It's through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God searches the very heart and the thoughts and the deep depths of God. The hidden things, the deeper things. And the Spirit brings it out. And it says the Spirit searches everything. Does that mean it's only spiritual things? So you only listen to Christians when they have a Bible open on their lap? Is that the only time you listen to a Christian? No, a Christian, a spiritual Christian, a Spirit-filled Christian who is humble enough to bring everything before the Lord, who prays about everything small and big, you should listen to that person, because there is wisdom in what that person says. Because the Spirit searches everything. That means the Spirit searches politics. The Spirit searches current events. The Spirit will know the times and the seasons. God doesn't do anything unless He first communicates things to His prophets. Everything. The Spirit searches everything. Even the thoughts of God. And so the depths of God, the thoughts of God. Do you think God only cares about spiritual things? Do you think God only cares about inspiring pastors on a Sunday? No, God sees everything. He sees everything in current events. He sees everything in natural life, in physical life. And so He sees it. And if you humble yourself and you bring everything before the Lord, small and big, even in the natural physical world, the hidden things will be revealed to you. That is somebody who is spiritual, who has discernment, who has the mind of Christ. Many of our presumptions come from the world. The world tells you how to think. The world tells you how to act. The world tries to put you in a box. And if you stray from that box, if you come out of that box, what do you hear? You hear scoffing. The scorners will scoff. They will say, "You're dumb. You're stupid. You're uneducated. And let me teach you, because I have 5 degrees. Let me teach you how things work." And God says, "No, that person is a fool. That person who thinks he is so wise in his own eyes, his way is, his end is destruction, is death. That person is still blind and deaf. Things are hidden from their eyes." But to those who are humble, to those who have repented of pride, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. To those who pray about everything, not just the big things, but even the small things. Because Jesus lived this way. He had this mindset. We can have the mind of Christ. And things that are hidden from the most educated people in the land, we will have revelation from the Lord. Our presumptions come from the world. James 4:4. "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." I want to speak to the young people before you go out into this world. Commit yourself that you will not become a friend of this world. See the world for what it is. It is a trap of the enemy. See the world for what it is. Do not try to befriend it. Do not try to be part of it. Do not try to be praised by it and welcomed by it and respected by it. Let go of all of that. Because Jesus is showing us an example. He is a nobody. For 30 years, whoever, who knows Him? Nobody knows Him. He's a nobody. He could have chosen to come in a palace. He could have been a rabbi who attended rabbinic school. He could have had many degrees after His name, but He's a carpenter. He associates with fishermen and prophets and tax collectors, sinners, people who are outcasts of society. This is all by design. He's showing us the way of humility from beginning to end. He humbled Himself even to the point of death on a cross. And that is the most shameful way to die. And many people thought, this man is cursed by God to die on a cross. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Why do we choose not to befriend the world? It's because it says so clearly in God's word, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. That means the news is influenced and infiltrated by the evil one. That means the university that is teaching people how to think and is no longer thinking critically, it's just teaching you how to regurgitate their narrative. University is infiltrated and controlled and influenced by the evil one. Everything we see that forms your narrative, that forms your worldview, is influenced, infiltrated by the power of the evil one. Why would you want to befriend it? Why would you want to be part of it? Why would you want to be famous in it? Why would you want to be praised by it when it is enmity with God? See, all of our presumptions, it comes from the world. A world that is influenced, infiltrated, enslaved, controlled, manipulated by the power of the evil one. So what do we do then? We pray about everything. That means you trust God more than you trust in science. You trust God more than you trust in education. You trust God more than you trust in your professors. You trust God more than you trust in your news. You trust God more than in your own intellect and your ability to reach a conclusion as you look at all the facts in front of you. You cannot do it. We are not smart enough to know the hidden things, the secret things, the depths of God, the true things that God sees. You don't have access to it unless you're humble and you pray about everything. A spiritual person who is humble brings everything before the Lord and prays. I am not a prophet, but I listen to prophetic people, and I pray about everything. And as far as I can tell, this is what the Lord has told me about 2021, beginning with our election. Trump is going to be reelected. I want to go on record saying he is going to be reelected. It seems this is the last thing you want to say. At this hour, when it does not look like that's going to happen. But as far as I can tell, when I pray, God gave me Luke chapter 12. And I want to read that to you. Luke chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops." I believe that a lot of corruption in our election process is going to be exposed. Things that are in the dark will be heard in the light. Things that have been whispered in private rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And why is God waiting until the last moment? Because he wants the people of God to keep praying about this. And what is he going to do when he reverses it at the last minute? He is going to shatter people's worldview. It is God's love, it's mercy in order to save people. He's going to shatter presumptions of this world. A lot of people who are educated presume, no, our election system has integrity. There is no fraud. There's no interference, even though they talk about interference all the time. When it comes to this election, they say there's no interference from foreign governments. God is going to, at the last moment, turn it around in order to shatter people's presumptions of how this world works. He is going to show on a world stage who the power of the evil one that has been infiltrating even this country for many decades. And I believe it is going to be a remarkable thing when it happens. It is going to be remarkable. People will be humbled. People will be humiliated. Those who are the loudest scoffers will suddenly be silenced. And the Christian, we don't scoff, we don't ridicule, we don't call others who don't see what we see dumb. But there will come a time when people will come out and seek the counsel of Christians and say, "How did you know? Who told you? How did you know?" It's not because God tells you everything. God just tells you, look into this. As you pray about it, God just gives a little nudge. Look into this. And then a spiritual person who judges everything, examines everything, actually spends time looking into it. You don't just take what one person says and says, okay, that's true. No, as a Christian who's spiritual, not a natural person, you take everything before the Lord. He nudges you saying, that one is a little questionable. You should look into it. And then with your own will and your own effort, you actually study, you research, and then you will see, there's a lot here that's not talked about in public. Another amazing verse the Lord gave me last night, and I'll close with this. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 11. For the Lord spoke thus to me with his strong hand upon me, and warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, do not call conspiracy all that these people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear, let him be your dread. And he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble on it, and they shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. Do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy. One of Satan's tricks, oldest tricks in his in his bag, is to hide the truth by labeling it conspiracy. Because if you look into a conspiracy, you're a conspiracy theorist, and then you have a tin foil on your head, and you are a quack, you're a whack job, you are uneducated, you're living in a farm with a rifle over your shoulder, you're that kind of a person. And we so love the praise of man. We don't want to be ridiculed. And so we turn away from the truth that is right under our nose. Because that's a conspiracy. I don't go there. I'm an educated person. Satan is so crafty. He knows how to shut down the truth. He just labels it. And then there's a stigma. There's a ridicule, a scorn. And we back off. But when the conspiracies turn out to be true, many people will stumble over this stone of offense. We know all of this is a pointer to Jesus Christ. Jesus was a people who mocked him, who were scornful toward him. They were broken under, and they tripped over this stone of offense. And even in current events, when the conspiracies, quote-unquote conspiracies, are proven to be true, many people who will be stumbled over it and hopefully be broken by it, be humbled by it, so that they can turn to the Christian and the Christian can turn them to Jesus, so that these people who used to mock can become followers of Jesus. My encouragement to all of us in 2021 is to humble yourself. Repent of your pride. Repent of your presumptions, which are underneath all of our pride. And pray about everything, small and big. Pray before you take a vaccine. Pray before as you read the news. Pray before as you hear things from professors. Pray about everything and ask the Lord, is this true? Should I do this? If the Lord allows you, then do it. At least you've prayed. If you're making a mistake, you've prayed, God will protect you. If you do not pray and you just make decisions, you're on your own. Pray about everything. That is my encouragement in 2021. Let's pray about everything, the small things. Let's not presume to know what the answer is. And our prayerlessness shows that we are living with presumption. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. And Jesus, you're showing us in Philippians chapter 2 your full humanity. You humbled yourself. You became a man. The infinite God became a finite, frail man. Not just any man, you became a servant. Not just a servant who was obedient. Not just a servant who's obedient, but a servant who's obedient to the point of death on a cross. As you went lower and lower, no wonder you were exalted to the highest place, so that even to this day, every knee bows in heaven and on earth, and one day even under the earth, Satan and all your minions. You'll be exalted. And every tongue will confess that Jesus, your Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We too follow your example. We humble ourselves. We pray about everything. We repent of our pride, our presumption. We think we're so wise in our own eyes. And we think we know the answer so that we don't even pray about so many things. But Lord, we want to commit today for all of 2021 and onward. We want to pray about everything small and big. We pray for ourselves that you would protect us, fight for us. We pray for our families. We pray that you protect us, fight for us. We pray for America. We pray that you fight for America. And give us one last chance, Lord, to repent and to be a city on a hill that shines like we once did and brings the good news of the gospel to all the nations. Right now we're in such dire spiritual condition that the nations are sending its missionaries to us because we're in such deep trouble. Many Christians around the world are praying for America right now, and we join with them. We pray that everything that has been spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. Things that were whispered in the private rooms, proclaim it, Lord, on the housetops. Lord, may you show all the corruption in our election process that's not being covered by the mainstream news, but Lord, we see it. Those who, with the Spirit of God, we've examined it. We've taken the time to examine, and we see so much evidence. We pray that you bring it out, Lord. Bring it out, many of us, Lord. In this world, among the educated, we will be humiliated. All the scoffers will be silenced, but Lord, it is for their good. It is for the sake of their salvation. It is so that they turn, they humble themselves, they turn to Jesus, their Savior. Please, 2021 has a potential to be an amazing year of revival. So Lord, we pray toward that end. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on a cross, raising from the dead. Thank you for this Lord's Supper. We partake in it, remembering your death on a cross, your body that was broken for us, your blood that was shed. We do this in remembrance of you, and we do it proclaiming your return. May you come soon, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.